Did I ever tell you about when I peed my pants on the Century Theater?
No.
I was in, nobody knows. I kept it pretty hidden. I was in seventh grade.
Oh my god.
I went, so
you peed your pants?
I was, so we went, so I was in seventh grade, and it was when, like, the girls I was hanging out with randomly at that time, we were really into horror movies, and we went to see The Ring 2 in theaters, and I think I really had to pee, but I was holding it, but then something really scary happened, and I just peed my pants in the seat at the Century 21 and was, like, freaking out about it for the rest of the movie. But then, like, we left. Her mom picked us up. Nobody ever knew. But that was, like, a dark shame that I lived with for a while.
How much did you pee? Like, a lot?
Don't remember. It was, like, enough to
like
pee.
Like, all of it?
Too much. I think it was all of it.
Like, so you really had to pee. And, like, something scared you and it started.
Yeah.
And you just, like, couldn't do anything about it and just kept going.
Yeah. I think I was, like, luckily wearing, like, a long sweatshirt because it was back in the day when that was happening. Yeah. Memory unlocked. And those are the vibes we want to bring into this recording session.
I'm so happy we've already hit record.
Oh, my goodness.
Can that be the cold open?
The cold open. Oh, speaking of middle school. Welcome to the bro seat. Should I start it?
Yeah.
Okay. Talking to my bro who's never seen the show, wondering how it's gonna go. Orange County in the past is explored in this podcast. It's the bro seat.
Welcome to the Bro C Bitch, a Latchkey Sibs miniseries where I, Holland Baker, make my little brother Gray watch one of my most beloved TV shows from the early 2000s for the very first time. Today we are discussing season 2, episodes 1 through 14. We're starting a new season, baby. Hello, Gray.
Hello, Holland. Good to see you. It's been a while.
Yeah, we've done it again where we say we're going to stop doing this, but I finished this watch a while ago. So
I kind of did too. I think we finished it about a week and a half ago.
Yeah, it's been a couple weeks for me. Cuz I think I was like taking my time this time too. I did not speed through it in one day. I, like, watched it over the course of, like, at least a week. And I think I didn't start it until I knew that you had started it, too. Mm-hmm. And then I still just, like, watched it way faster than you did. I did kind of start to take notes again, but I think I dropped off. But I did take some stray notes when I started the first half of season two. However, I would like to just get your first impression, like, I guess, of season two before I get into our previously on the OC segment. Like, how...
Definitely some highs and lows.
Okay.
I'll say. There was a lull when I really was, like, upset.
Okay.
about having to watch the show. Like, where I was like, oof. Like... this is where it gets hard to watch.
Okay.
And then it picked back up.
Okay.
And so it kind of finished this half in stride.
Okay. Where was the lull? Was it like the Lindsay Caleb shit?
It was like the first like four episodes.
Okay. Yeah, we're like getting back into it. Everything's different. It's uncomfortable. We have to get two interesting things.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Exactly. Exactly. So it was rough, but then again, it picked back up. I would say, I think episode either 7 or 8, where I was like, oh, fuck yeah, we're back.
Okay. Which one is that? Is it when, Lindsay and Ryan are maybe, and, like, starting to do, like, get a little something, and then Alex is, like, more of a main person?
Oh, no. It was, okay, hold on, I'm reading them all. It was episode 6. It was the Chrismica episode.
Okay. Yes. We had to save Chrismica. The bombshell just dropped.
But it was the whole, like, yeah, when you find out that, like, Lindsay is Caleb's daughter, then I was like, ooh, this is interesting.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Shout out Rachel Green. Yeah. So I think that's when I was like, okay, I'm back. But, like, it kind of started like, oh, man, this is kind of hard to watch again.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I will say, so we did watch technically more than half of the season, but I did want to cut it off at the famous Spider-Man kiss. That's like when Lindsay leaves. That's when Rebecca leaves. That's when Seth and Summer, like, kind of restart. And then, like, the back part of the season, like, changes. Like, all of those storylines are kind of wrapped up in that last episode we watched. And then, like, we get a different vibe going forward.
Right.
So, yeah, that's why I cut it off there.
I hated the Rebecca arc.
Oh, my God, yeah. Rebecca's so annoying. She's so like annoying. The Teresa of season 2.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, you're just there to be there.
Yeah.
You're not fun to watch.
And you're messing with Sandy and Kirsten.
Yeah. Well, obviously, I hate that. But
yeah. But yeah, she's such like a nothing burger. It's like, what's going on?
Yeah, like she's a nothing burger.
And you can't even see why Sandy was engaged to her.
Yeah, like, they didn't give her anything to be engaged. Thank you very much, Holland.
Right, whatever. Thank you for correcting me.
I feel like they do a better, like, showing of the history between Sandy and the dad, the old professor.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, oh, I can feel the weight of, like, their past.
Mm-hmm.
But every time it was Sandy and Teresa, I'm like, it feels like...
Rebecca.
Or what did I say?
Teresa.
Teresa. Because they're the same fucking person. Because I feel the same way about Ryan and Teresa, where I'm like, I feel like the way you tried to write in, like, oh, we have a past, is to just say we have a past.
Yeah, but I feel like even Ryan and Teresa at least had, like, more chemistry. Like, yeah. I believed it more than Sandy and Rebecca.
True.
But before we get any deeper, I'm going to get into our segment, Previously on the OC. Oh, yeah. The reason why I was starting to do the preamble of why me cutting it off slightly more than halfway through is to explain why all of these summaries are so long, because so much happens. So, my first relationship square, the first square of two squares.
Ooh, square. No, we've graduated from triangle.
Yeah, is Ryan, Marissa, Lindsay, Alex. So,
where's DJ in this situation?
He gets a brief mention, but he's not important enough to make it
a pentagon.
Hexagon. Oh yeah, a pentagon. The pentagram, the evil, unholy pentagram, relationship pentagram. Okay. The season kicks off with Ryan playing house with Teresa, while Marissa is hella angsty in Caleb's mansion and also hooking up with the yard guy, DJ. While Ryan flies off to Portland to try to convince Seth to come back home, Teresa decides to lie to him about losing the baby so he's free to go back to Newport.
Which is fucking crazy. And I was just thinking about how I'm like, well, they just did a perfect, like, we can bring that back later.
Mm-hmm. Ryan and Marissa reunite and try to carry on as if nothing happened, but Ryan catches Marissa kissing DJ and the two decide to just be friends. Soon, new girl in town, Lindsay, catches Ryan's attention and the two start dating. Things seem to be going well, but then we find out that Lindsay is Caleb's secret love child from an affair he had 16 years ago. This causes a lot of friction in their relationship and ultimately ends with Lindsay moving away to Chicago after Caleb put her through some paternity test drama after playing her hot and cold with his affections. Meanwhile, Marissa's romance with DJ fizzles after she uses him to piss off her mom one too many times. However, she and Alex soon strike up a close friendship that leads to romance. However, Marissa takes the first opportunity to flaunt her relationship in front of Julie to get a rise out of her, and soon goes so far as to move out of the mansion and into the numbered streets with Alex.
The numbered streets.
They always talk about those numbered streets as, like, that's the poor place.
That's the poor part of Newport?
Yeah. The numbered streets. They've mentioned it a few times.
I know. It's just so funny, like, to say, like,
yeah,
the poor part of Newport.
Yeah. Okay. Our second square is Seth, Summer, Zach, Alex. Alex is in both of these squares.
Okay. Yeah. I just have so many thoughts. We'll get to it. I'll let you go.
Okay. Once Seth returns from his summer angsting away in Portland, he tries to rekindle things with Summer. However, turns out she moved on while he was away and is now dating Senator's son and water polo player Zach. Zach also happens to like comic books, something he and Seth both bond over before finding out his relationship status with Summer. Seth continues to try to weasel his way into Summer's life/relationship until she blows up at him one too many times for leaving her over the summer. He tries to move on and briefly dates his bait shop boss, Alex, but his insecurity about her ex coming into town ultimately breaks them up. It seems that Seth, Summer, and Zach start to become friends as they begin working on their own comic book together, but it soon becomes apparent that Seth and Summer aren't over each other. Summer finally admits it to herself in the airport before she's about to embark on a trip to Italy with Zach and his family, and she leaves him in the dust to reunite with Seth via an epic Spider-Man kiss in the rain. Do you want to voice any thoughts, or do you want to wait for...
Justice for Zach.
I know!
First of all.
I love Zach.
Dude is, like, the more perfect version of, like, season 2 Luke.
Yeah.
Where you're just like, he's doing absolutely nothing wrong and he doesn't deserve any of this.
Yeah, I know.
And also, I definitely like Alex with Seth more than I like her with Marissa.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Like 100. Here's the thing. I hate Marissa.
I know you do.
I hate Marissa so much that I just hate anytime she's on screen and anybody who's associated with her at that moment.
That's rough. Guilty by association.
She sucks, dude. She sucks. Not only does her character suck, but the actress sucks.
Oh, poor Misha. I don't know. I don't mind.
You are a little 7-year-old who's like, Ryan and Marisha.
Hey man, I'm at least 12 and a half. I feel for Marissa. She is spoiled, she's acting out, but she's also a teenager and she doesn't have good parental role models to like help her be a mature person. Anyway. Our next triangle is Sandy, Kirsten, Rebecca. So
this is our first triangle?
Yeah. After two squares.
Yes.
Sandy and Kirsten start the season off shakily, fighting over how they're handling Seth fleeing to Portland. Once Seth returns,
it seems... Oh my god, I forgot about Portland. I think you already mentioned it. But like,
I mentioned it a couple times. Once Seth returns, it seems they might get back on track before Sandy's old and dying law professor reaches out to help him track down his daughter and Sandy's former fiancé, or almost fiancé, whatever, Rebecca, before he passes away. Rebecca has been on the run since Sandy was in college because she was involved in a political act gone wrong that ended up killing someone. Sandy does some digging and initially... No, this show is wild. Sandy does some digging.
Just the way you phrased it, I didn't think about it like that. It's so funny.
Sandy does some... This show, like...
They, like, made her a terrorist.
Well, except not really, because she's like, actually, I wasn't there. So this show, like, red pills you into thinking everything is normal within this universe.
I know.
That it's like... Okay. Or blue pill? I don't know. I just watched The Matrix for the first time, and I can't remember, like... The blue pill is, like, you want to be in the dark, right? And the red pill is, like, you show just, me the world.
Yeah, the red pill is, like, showing you the truth.
So maybe we've been blue pilled by the OC to think all of this is normal. Okay. Oh, my God. Side note. This is a total tangent, but I visited Dad... 2 weekends ago, and that's where I watched The Matrix, and he was so fucking excited to watch it because it's his favorite movie in the world.
I know.
He's seen it a bagajillion times, and it was also, it was an eye-opening experience for me because it was like looking in the mirror of when I want to watch something that I love with somebody and how annoying I can be when I'm like mouthing the words to a movie and being like, watch, do you see this? You pay attention to this part, because Dad was doing that the whole time. He's like, look at the glasses. There's always something in the reflection of the glasses.
Oh, God, that's me.
I know. And then and he was, like, doing, like, the hand motion, like, the come here hand motion every time, like, Morpheus was, like, would, like, do it to Neo and stuff. And I'm like, this is who I am.
Can you clip that and send it to me so I can show Meg?
Yes.
If you're not going to leave that in the podcast.
No, I probably will.
Okay, good. Because I need to hear it about myself.
Yeah.
Because I do that. And she needs to hear it to know
that's it's genetic.
Where it comes from.
It's genetic. We can't help it.
I can't help it. I just get so excited showing people movies.
Yeah.
And I want them to be just as excited as I am.
Yep. Yep. which makes it worse. For the
yes.
Like, if I was watching the OC with you, like, in person, I'd be like, pay attention.
You would be the worst.
I would be quoting everything. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
I mean, it didn't hinder my viewing experience of The Matrix, because I'm like, this is who I am, so I understand what is happening here, but... Yeah, it was funny. Anyway. Rebecca has been on the run since Sandy was in college because she was involved in a political act gone wrong that ended up killing someone. Sandy does some digging and initially thinks that Rebecca died and tells Kirsten as much. However, Rebecca shows up alive and Sandy and his professor begin to try clearing her name in secret. As it turns out, she never even showed up to the event that caused the death. Sandy and Rebecca begin reconnecting while Kirsten is in the dark until one day Kirsten discovers Rebecca staying at Sandy's office. The back and
Such
forth,
a dumb move.
I know. The back and forth of trying to clear her name puts a huge wedge between Sandy and Kirsten until the law professor does end up dying. Between the marriage issues and what seems like a losing battle, Rebecca ends up leaving again for good. I had to really, like, condense that because... The Rebecca story, she also, like, says she's leaving 7 times and never leaves. So.
I know.
Yeah. I don't, yeah. That whole, it's so annoying. It's so annoying. Okay, finally, our last couples/triangle. Caleb, Julie, Jimmy. I didn't add Haley because she was only in, like, one episode. The season begins with Julie feeling unappreciated by both Caleb and Marissa and begins to rely on Jimmy for support. Meanwhile, Jimmy is reeling from his breakup from Haley, who left him for a job in Japan at the beginning of the season, and he finds comfort in Julie in return. The two carry on a full-on affair until they're discovered by both Kirsten and Marissa. After getting chewed up by Marissa, Jimmy decides he needs to start being a real grown-up and takes a job in Hawaii that gets him away from the pull of Julie Cooper. With Jimmy out of the picture, Julie focuses on developing a lifestyle magazine at the Newport Group, as well as doing her best to hinder any kind of relationship between Caleb and Lindsay. She ultimately gets what she wants after manipulating Caleb into getting a paternity test, which sours the relationship between him and Lindsay and causes Lindsay to move away to Chicago. So yeah, Julie's back on her villain game.
What?
Julie's back on her villain game.
Oh, full force.
Yeah. And like just so blatantly leaning into the gold digger identity as well.
Oh my God, yeah.
And being like, Marissa, I think you're old enough to know that there's a lot of things I have to do to make sure that we have money. Like, essentially.
Yeah. Oh my God.
So many things. So before we completely dig into things, or maybe this can be a way to kick off some more conversation, we do have a Welcome to the OC Bitch first impression segment. Since we're starting a new season,
we have two new characters.
I have five.
Three. Five. Okay.
So, in order of importance, the first one I have is DJ.
DJ. Here's the thing. Good guy. Boring as shit.
Not clear how old he is.
Definitely not. I do love that they did yard guy instead of pool boy, just because it's still just as soap opera-y.
Yeah.
But yard guy just sounds funnier to say than pool boy.
Yeah. DJ the yard guy, who's hot. In the yard, or whatever Summer says.
Yeah.
Although definitely some room to be racist.
Totally.
Not the most fun.
But he was like always, like, you know, they never made him like out to be a bad guy.
No.
But he was just boring.
He was blah. Yeah, I think you did text me at one point that was like, of course the yard guy is Latino or something like that.
Yeah, probably. Because of course.
Yeah.
It's the OC. They're like, can we be more on the nose? Let's be more on the nose.
Mm-hmm. So next I have Zach Stevens. We've talked on him a little bit.
I did say he looks like Tucker Carlson.
I think you did. I remember you told me that.
Like, I don't think he... I think, you know, I guess he's objectively a attractive human. But I just see Tucker Carlson.
He's a more attractive version.
What?
I'd say he's more attractive than Tucker Carlson.
Sure. I'm just saying it's all I can see. So to me, I don't see like, oh, he's hot.
Oh, yeah.
But sweet boy, good boy. Did nothing wrong ever.
Yeah.
Deserved way better.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's kind of what you get into when the girl you're with can only talk about one guy forever. Yeah. Like, I just wouldn't pursue that relationship.
Yeah, and he really tries. He really tries.
He does.
And yeah, it's just futile. I know. Poor Zach. Okay. Lindsay Gardner.
She grew on me.
She's a little annoying.
She is annoying.
But she's ultimately
the way she
fine.
Moves her mouth really bothers me sometimes when she's doing serious talk.
Okay.
For some reason, there's the way she moves her mouth, like when she talks, when she's like being like serious.
Yeah.
Or it's almost like a cry, like mouth.
Her cry. She does a good cry voice, though.
She does a good cry voice, but it's just, I don't know. It's something about her mouth I can't not see. But, but she does grow on me, except for the Chrismica episode. Basically, like, that scene when she, like, forces, basically forces Ryan to tell her the truth. She just was being so weird, like, about her, like, possession over Caleb. Not even possession, I guess just, like, entitlement, I think.
Like, oh, like, tell the truth about the paternity test, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, she got very... She like got very attached to it very quickly. Oh wait,
that wasn't Chrismica then, was it?
No, that was like...
No, it was the adoption party.
That's yeah, yeah, yeah. The adoption party that turned into a magazine announcement party.
Yeah, no, sorry, it was the adoption party. But she was just like, you've lived with your mom your whole life, you have a good relationship with your mom, and then like 2 months later, you're like, I'm gonna move in with this man.
Yeah, but I think it's also just like she's been wanting to meet her dad for so long that I think...
Yeah, well, don't move in with him.
But I think it's like she's probably had this idea of who he is for her whole life, and now it's like she's finally meeting him, and she probably just got like so attached so fast. I think it's more like she fell in love with the idea of who her dad could be and just kind of like projected it onto Caleb and ignored any red flags about who he was as a person just because she's a teenager and she wanted a dad. So like I
stop rationalizing this. That's not what they were thinking, okay? I just want to be very clear. That's not what the writers were thinking.
I think we can give the writers a little bit of credit.
I do give them credit about making good drama. Okay. But I don't think that they have good intentions at any point of this show.
I think we're going to have to agree to disagree on that. Next up is Alex Kelly. Olivia Wilde has entered the chat.
I think she could be better. Honestly, I thought I'd be more annoyed by her.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't annoy me that much.
I think she's really good.
Yeah. Again, the only part of her I don't like is the part with Marissa, and that's just Marissa's fault.
It more like you don't believe that Alex would like Marissa? Is that kind of the idea?
Well, that's definitely true. No, I just think her plot line got weaker when that part started.
Yeah.
I liked her with Seth, and I thought it was... I didn't like how they, like, wrote that out.
Yeah, like, how they wrote them breaking up was
that, like, all of a sudden, she was super non-committal, but they didn't really, like, hint that at all. It just was kind of abrupt, like, oh. The non-committal part of, like, she very much was like, oh, yeah, this is, like, starting to be something. And then out of nowhere, it was kind of like, this wasn't anything.
That's true. Yeah, it was a little back and forth with that, for sure. Okay. Rebecca Bloom. I think we said everything about Rebecca.
Yeah.
Annoying.
Boring. Nothing burger.
Okay. Alrighty. Well,
was that five?
Yeah, because we talked about DJ for 2 seconds.
I already forgot about it.
The season kicks off. Seth has run away to Portland. We did explain how he got there. Were you happy with the explanation of how he went to Catalina? And then
yes.
He went to Santa Barbara, and then he sold his boat for snack
like
money.
$2,000 to get up to Portland or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do like that explanation a lot.
And yeah, the absolutely wild choice of Teresa just straight up lying to Ryan about losing the baby.
I know. Like, oh, as soon as that happened, I was just like, fuck yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, Ryan gets to leave his like
Ryan
stupid
gets to come back.
His stupid life. as like a 16-year-old construction worker with a 5 o'clock shadow and at their own house. Like all, I was like, oh my God.
The first note
when you describe them as playing house, I'm like, you couldn't be more right.
The first note I took in my very brief notes was, oh my God, everyone is so scruffy in season two because Ryan's got like the 5 o'clock shadow. Jimmy's a little scruffy. I think Sandy's even a little scruffy in the first episode. Like everyone, and Luke's got some scruff going on. Like everyone's like a little scruffy, and I'm like, everyone's kind of hotter. Like, what's going on? Also, I think Ryan's hair is only good in the first episode, and then it gets so bad. And I hate to say it, but it's only gonna get worse until season three. So we're with this mop top for the rest of the season, unfortunately.
I need to look at what season one looked like again.
Yep, my second note is Jimmy is hot now.
No, his teeth still look like they're like permanently wine stained.
That's true. But his hair's a little longer too. Like he's grown it out from whatever was happening in the first season. And he's got the scruff. Also, my fourth note is, Sandy, your hair looks sexy pushed back. Because he's gotten rid of the mop top.
And yeah, now his hair it's is all off of his combed face. Backwards.
Yeah.
Okay, so Ryan in season one actually kind of like combed his hair to the side. It was like a loose comb to the side, but it still.
Yeah, did. But it was also shorter.
Season two, it's all just forward.
Yeah, but it was shorter in season one as well.
It was a little shorter on the sides.
Yeah.
But I just had to remember what.
what the good times looked like.
Yeah. Okay.
I guess so. Did you expect? I couldn't really remember from your predictions, but did you expect Seth running away on his boat to break up him and Summer? Because I feel like you.
I can't remember.
Didn't.
Did not.
Yeah, it seemed like when you were talking about it in the last episode, I can't remember. But we have a whole segment where we get into predictions as well. So, yeah, the first episode's dramatic. Seth is in fucking Portland staying with Luke because he's a big fat baby about Ryan leaving. He's there the whole summer. Ryan's playing house. And then by the end of it, we're going back to the OC.
Thank God.
Season two, we're trying to get back to normal. Ryan and Marissa are trying things out again, but that obviously doesn't end up working.
Yeah, I was happy about that.
I'm sure you were. I'm sure you were.
Well, it just felt forced. It felt forced.
Yeah, it was awkward. And then... Okay, also, the bait shop is here now.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Big names.
I know. And I think a lot of these names, like, the show really, like, catapulted people's careers. Like, Death Cab for Cutie exists because of this show, like basically.
Really?
And that, like, that goes back to season one because they are canonically Seth's favorite band, and yeah. So they really did a lot to promote them on this show. Killers album one, Killers, Modest Mouse.
I feel like Modest Mouse already had a pretty, I don't think this show did much to Modest Mouse or the Killers.
Yeah, the Killers had already blown up. But, like, this show, like, really helped, like, a lot of indie scene bands. Like,
Does the bait shop have its own Wikipedia page?
Don't look that up because spoilers happen in the bait shop. So.
Okay, I won't. I did look up Wikipedia season two, and I did get something kind of spoiled for me.
Oh no.
Super small.
Okay.
Super small. And I don't really know what it means.
Okay.
I just saw, well, Julie's crime filled past comes back to haunt her.
Okay. I'm glad that's all that it said, because that didn't spoil what it was. Okay.
And then it also says, and this one I already knew. Okay. Because the next episode is the episode I've been remembering.
Yeah, the mall episode.
Such the mall episode.
I'm so stoked. This is it's a good one. It's a good one.
I thought okay. I was going crazy. That no. I went a whole season and a half. And I was like, did I make it. This up? Yeah. And then I saw the, like, after season or episode 14 ended, it was like, play this one next. And I was like, oh, there yeah. it is.
Yeah.
But so I think I've seen the second half of season 2.
Maybe. It's quite possible.
Because I also saw Ryan's older brother, Trey, gives Newport a try.
Yeah.
And I was like, I do remember that.
Yeah.
Super yeah. vague. I just remember that very vague context.
Yeah, I will say I'm like re-looking through all of the season, the first half of season 2 episodes. And it really, it's kind of like a reset to the show. It's like its own season. And it definitely, like, it introduces a lot of new character. Or, like, we have Alex, we have Zach. They're, like, become really major players. Lindsay, Rebecca a little bit. But, like, three new high school people, which is also kind of like, okay, then why did we get rid of Anna and Luke and then just, like, replace them again with, like, new people, but whatever. Yeah, the X-Factor.
It's Anna and Luke, but for the other two characters.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But then we have Alex, who...
Strong.
She's a very... I think, yeah, I
think... As Dad would say, strong to fairly strong.
Strong to fairly strong. I think this show also really put Olivia Wilde on the map for the longest time.
Wow.
This was the only thing I knew her from. And... Because this was, like, early 2000s, and then I feel like she really didn't, like, get that big until way later than this. And it also gets gay. Were you expecting any yeah. kind of gay romances on this show?
I don't think I was. I think, yeah, that didn't, I mean, at least not for a while.
Yeah, totally.
And I thought they would just introduce, like, a gay character.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they'd be like, oh, Marissa's gay.
Yeah. Marissa is exploring sexuality.
Or as Julie is just like, it's just a phase. They said that so much where I was just like, that's hilarious. Like, oh, they didn't even, like, consider the fact that it was a long-term thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just yeah. immediately, they're like, it's just a phase, I know.
Like, yeah, and Julie's like, it was for me.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's like, so I feel like the most major dramatic moments from the first half of the season were the Rebecca stuff, which I feel like we've covered. Like, it's absolutely crazy that she, like, was involved in, like, a fire at a lab at a college that ended up killing someone. But then it's like, oh, actually, never mind. She actually never ended up showing up. But she's been on the run for the last, like, 20 years anyway. Like,
yeah.
What? If you're, like, oh, surely man. There are cameras? Like, I know it was, like, maybe the... 80s, the 70s, when was this supposed to have happened? I don't know.
Like 1980, early 80s, it had to have been. Like, because I always get the impression that Sandy and Kirsten are supposed to be like 42.
Yeah, like in their 40s. Yeah.
In their early 40s. And this was like 2 years before they met. So I think he was supposed to be like 20 to 21 years old.
So yeah, like early 80s. I don't know. Maybe there weren't cameras. Who knows? But yeah, absolutely crazy that she's just been on the run this entire time. And then is just, yeah, she's just like a frustrating character because, yeah, we've kind of said it all already. Like,
no, she sucks. I don't want to talk about her. Okay. I don't care. All I care about is that they kissed.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
And that just gets swept under the rug for now.
Yeah, because it's like,
it's gonna come back.
Sandy thought Sandy he was saying like, goodbye.
It never even started.
Yeah, and I'm like, really though? Like, Yeah, because I think he kissed her when he thought she was leaving. Kirsten. Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of it is also, like, annoying. Like, I'm not telling you things because it's to protect you in court.
Oh,
and I'm like,
yeah. And it's like, she... you know that's bullshit.
And also, you're married. She legally doesn't have to, like, she is legally bound to you and can't testify against you. So, like, anything you say in your marriage is protected already. This is your guilt, Sandy. I love you, but you're being... you're making it hard right now.
You're making it really hard to love you right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then...
no, that was super not fun and fun and flirty at all. I didn't like it one bit.
And then the other, like, major was Lindsay and finding out that Caleb had, like, an illegitimate love child this whole time.
Oh, yeah.
Who
oh
happens
my God, that was crazy.
To start dating Ryan. And that's also the solve to, like, the legal sketchiness that was set up at the end of season one, if you remember. Because they thought that he was bribing Lindsay's mom in whatever But then it turns out he was just paying child support because he fathered her illegitimate child.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was very soapy. That was very soapy for sure. But yeah, I do remember, like, watching the show originally being really annoyed with Lindsay and being like, you shouldn't be with Ryan. Like, you're one of the obstacles keeping them apart. How did you feel? Okay,
is A9.com?
A9? I have no idea.
Yeah, they said something like, I looked it up on A9.com. The OC. Hold on.
No idea. What did you think about...
hold on. A9.com was a former subsidiary of Amazon that developed search engine and search advertising. It was back in the day when Amazon was trying to compete with Google.
Oh, interesting.
Because they said, like, I looked it up on A9.com, or I A9.com'd this.
That's,
and you're just like...
that's giving, I'm going to go Bing it.
It's basically what that is. But it was like, they just got, like, an ad placement in the OC.
Does Bing still exist? Because do you remember on, like, early aughts shows that
dude,
were,
dude, Bing,
like,
is... honestly, Bing...
oh, Bing does still exist.
Bing kind of slaps.
Do you use Bing?
So here's the thing. I don't really... I don't really use Bing, but... Google is so saturated now with, like, SEO, where it's showing you what, like, it wants you to see and not necessarily what you want to see. Bing isn't as far along in that. So sometimes if you just keep... you're looking for something really specific and you keep getting flooded by, like, similar but not relevant stuff, try going on Bing and it might be, like, the first or second one, like how Google used to be.
Interesting. Do you remember Ask Jeeves?
Well, by the time I got around to it, it was just ask.com.
Ugh, lame. You didn't even have Jeeves.
I didn't even have Jeeves. But I do remember when I heard of ask.com, I thought I had to search everything as a question.
Oh, that's so cute.
Because I was like, yeah, I was like in elementary school, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, I want to look up a photo of a blue whale. So I was like, can you show me a blue whale? Like, I didn't just type in blue whale.
Amazing. And then I'm trying to, like, make sure we, like, hit everything.
I know. I was just going back through my text, and that's where I found the A9.com.
So
Hold on.
Think the ultimate OC ep of this bunch is rainy day women.
Hold on.
Okay.
I want to go through all my texts.
Okay. I can also go through all the notes I took.
Oh my God. Okay, wait. Summer wore fake bangs to a concert.
She did.
And they were so obviously fake.
Yeah. That was wild.
What was that?
The Y2K trends were crazy, dude. I know, it was super weird. I don't know what was going on with that.
Do you really want to know what's on my mind? And then I do the Tarzan yell. He's like, ah!
That's an okay, so that's an iconic scene when Marissa flips out on Julie and throws the pool chair into the pool. That's iconic. Yeah. That's iconic OC lore. So you're welcome for being able to witness that.
Or I'll hit you with those Green Lantern JPEGs is a real line that Zach said to Seth.
Yep.
Yep. The Killers had a lot more screen time than like other bands do on the show. Although the Modest Mouse also had a good amount.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually like Bait Shop, a lot of Bait Shop episodes will really try to like forefront the bands and give them like a lot of screen time and put like the drama around the stuff.
Yeah. Hold on. Oh, wait, that's all at Allegra. Allegra had that screenshot of Summer and Colin Hanks.
Oh, yeah, from the Valley.
From the Valley. And it's like he puts up a CD. It's like, want to hear my music? And it's, I want to push you
over. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Allegra made a little Grady Bridges meme.
Oh, hey, Kirsten, happy anniversary. Let's spend it with me singing on stage for like 30 minutes.
Yeah, and I told you Peter Gallagher had an album to promote, so.
Which is so weird.
He's like a big Broadway guy, like in real life. He was in Grease, and like, he's a big Broadway actor.
Of course he was in Grease.
He sang. He was Danny Zuko, baby.
Look at him.
I know. And they make references to Grease, like, on the show all the time about Peter Gallagher. Oh, I sent you. Yeah, I included it in the carousel of when I posted the first bunch of episodes. But I also sent you that screenshot from that, what was it, like, the Idolmaker? Whatever that movie he was in. And you were like, he's a hunky monkey.
It wasn't a screenshot. You sent me the video.
Oh, I sent YouTube you the video. I sent you the whole video, yeah. But I had
and I watched the whole video.
So did I. But I put our text conversation screenshot of me sending that to you in the carousel.
Or what about when Meg said, for the first time in my life, I don't want to see girls kiss on TV, when she was talking about Marissa and Alex. This was the episode when you're like, are they going to start dating? It was like two episodes or an episode before they do.
Yeah. You're are there vibes actually?
Again,
as a reminder, I watched the show with two boys predominantly when this was coming out on TV. So I remember this being a very important storyline for them specifically. They were all about the Alex and Marissa relationship. And honestly, I think their sentiments were reflected in the way that it was depicted on the show, because I feel like we definitely toe the line of it being like, hey, two girls are kissing.
Yeah, oh my God.
Look at exactly. It.
Look at it.
Look at them kiss.
You see them? You see how they're hot and stuff? Well, check this out.
Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna scroll through my notes a little bit. Yeah, I already said, oh my God, everyone is so scruffy in season two. Jimmy is hot now. Episode one, Ryan's hair is great. What happened? Sandy, your hair looks sexy, pushed back. Marissa loves a short king. Green Lantern JPEGs. Lindsay's car is like the shitty Sims carpool car. Did you notice her terrible car?
Yes.
And you know when you're like at the entry level of a job in The Sims and your carpool shows up and it just looks like shit? That's what her car looks like.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
You got a mop, bro. When Seth starts working at the bait shop and he's like, Ryan, I have a mop. And Ryan's like, you have a mop, bro.
Yeah.
Do you think it's offensive to say all women are crazy? Probably to women. I can't remember who said that, but hot take, I kind of like the Jimmy-Julie affair. Oh, yeah, that's my hot take of the season. I'm kind of into the Jimmy-Julie affair. How did you feel about it?
Interesting. I wouldn't say I wasn't into it.
It was good drama. They have good chemistry. Yeah, I don't know.
They
have good chemistry,
honestly. Yeah. No, you're right.
Yeah. And, how did you feel about Jimmy's departure?
so stupid. Oh my god. Yeah, when like, and Marissa even says it, where it's like, you said you want to be a better dad, so you're moving to Hawaii?
Yeah, so you're leaving?
Yeah, you fucking idiot.
And he's like, I have to leave, because if I don't leave, I won't stop seeing Julie. And you're like, bro, self-control.
I know, dude. Like, what a dipshit.
Such a terrible.
But I'm happy he's gone, because I... He was always boring.
You soured on him again. You kind of liked him at the end of season one. You've had a roller coaster experience with Jimmy.
It's what they do with him, I think. That's true. Just like he just gets so lame so quickly.
Oh, DJ is from Sacramento apparently, because that in one episode.
Oh my god, I know.
Marissa's like, DJ's in Sacramento visiting his family or something. I was like, oh, excuse me. Ryan,
yeah, that's from Sacramento is ghetto.
Ryan, yeah, excuse me, what are you trying to say, OC? Ryan doesn't dress like a high schooler, is one of my notes.
No, he dresses, and he also doesn't, like, he's officially, like, not a bad boy anymore.
Yeah, the tables have
turned. Immediately gets preppy.
Yeah, he becomes a nerd, as Seth continues to remind us.
Yeah. He's now just like he doesn't wear his like leather jacket anymore.
We haven't seen that wife beater.
He doesn't wear a wife beater ever.
Or, I'm sorry, wife respecter, woman respecter. What is it called now? Oh god, Zach and his tutor. Why? A completely unnecessary plot point to insert.
No, they just needed to find something to like.
Something wrong with Zach that his tutor like. Sexually abused him when he was 14. Oh my god. It's
and again, it was, and that's his fault.
It was like a weird thing to be like to kind of also show like how mature he is that he had a relationship with like a woman who had children and was in her 30s and was his tutor when he was 14. But you're like, this is not doing what you think it is doing, OC.
It's so dumb.
And it's such like a throwaway like plot, like it's mentioned, like it happens in one episode, it's mentioned like one more time, and it's like we just don't talk about it. It's bizarre. Yeah, I need to learn how to be a good dad, so I'm moving to Hawaii. Love that Ryan makes out to Journey, his favorite.
Oh my god, I know. I love that Journey is like a reoccurring thing, is like his favorite,
his favorite band. yeah. Fuck low income housing. Because like Kirsten ropes Sandy into like some like plot to use some money to build low income housing, but Julie swoops in and is like, actually we should make a magazine. And then Kirsten's like, I did the research, it's actually not a bad idea. And I was like, yeah, fuck low income housing. I guess.
It's to bolster the image of the Newport Group.
Right. And I'm like,
and she's like, well, this can do that too. And you're like, sure, Kirsten.
Yeah, you know what's really financially a stable option? Making a magazine. Such an outdated concept.
Okay. Why is at the start of the season, or maybe not even start of the season, after Caleb gets his name cleared, why is Julie still the CEO of the Newport Group?
I don't know. Do they not ever remedy that? I think it's maybe he takes over again, but she's still just like around because she's Julie.
No, I don't. Not as CEO, because she's still the one making the decision about the fucking magazine.
I don't know. I think Julie's also just a steamroller. I feel like that's maybe like an oversight, but I feel like he does get back to like business. Cohen does not have bi-wife energy because he gets extremely insecure about Alex having an ex-girlfriend.
Dude, he sucked that episode.
He sucks a lot of these episodes, honestly.
Yeah, he kind of gets like real fucking annoying.
It's like he was always
like especially kind of, with like Summer and Zach.
Yeah, he was always teetering on the line of like we always knew he was like a little bit self-involved, but he was always kind of charming and always a little bit self-aware about it. And then, like, the first half of this season, he really swings over the line to where you're like, you need to calm down and, like, look in the mirror, dude. Like, you're being insufferable right now.
Yeah.
Lol, matching tram stamps. Marissa and Alex get matching tram stamps.
Wait.
On an impulse.
They do?
Remember they get tattoos? This is before they start dating. It's like when Marissa's like skipping school all the time. They're like at Marissa's house and she's look, yeah. How does it look? And then Caleb comes in and she's like, ew, get out of my room or whatever. And then she leaves again. These adults need to stop emotionally dumping on the children. I can't remember what that was in reference to, but I feel like in general, these adults loop the kids into way too much of what's going on in the adults' world.
I mean, that's this show, right? Yeah. I mean, like, this show is all about how everyone is entitled to know everything about everyone, and it's always the biggest deal. Like, it's just...
We put a lot the shoulders of these children.
And I mean, I guess it's because, like, this doesn't make good TV. There's never any, like, harmless secrets.
There really are not.
They're always the most scandalous as possible.
Yeah. I mean.
But again, that's what makes good
welcome
TV.
Welcome to the MC bunch. And then my last note is Rebecca just disappears into the forest.
Yeah. Good. That's how I assumed that she was living before.
Just in the woods. In the woods of Canada, probably. Okay, so I think before we got into our notes, I was going to say, I think the Rainy Day Women is my, like, ultimate OC ep of this first half-ish of the season.
It is good.
It's
really
a good,
good
one. It's such a good one. Just the cold open when Seth walks, like Ryan, like opens his blinds, sees it's pouring. Seth walks sees it's raining, and they're like, "What the fuck is going on? It never rains in Southern California." They see each other through the windows, and they're like trying to get the other one to like come to where they are, and then they just are like, "We'll just do this over the phone."
That episode. I'm so bummed that I have to like wait. I had to wait a week and a half to like watch the next one.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it really like wraps up a lot of things, but it also is like, but it like sets it up to be like, ooh, what's going to happen next? Like, wow, we're going into a total reset now. Cause Lindsay leaves and the rain is just present throughout and it really like adds to the mood of the episode. I feel like it makes it more dramatic, which I know is like a cliche of like the kiss in the rain and like the drama that comes with rain. But it also, you know what, it also signifies like rebirth. We're starting anew by the end of the episode. Like Lindsay has left. She's starting a new life in Chicago.
Oh my Rebecca God, I forgot escapes that Lindsay into... needs...
Yeah, Lindsay moves away to Chicago after Caleb puts her through a paternity test, and even though it turns out he is the father, like, he's broken down the relationship so much that she's like, I gotta go, bye.
Yeah.
And Ryan is sad. And fucking Marissa moves out and moves in with Alex. I forgot how, like, sudden that happens in the show, too. Where it's like,
and there is that,
fuck you,
that stereotype of that, like, lesbian relationships move incredibly quickly.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's stereotype for a reason. I've witnessed it. But yeah, just a good up. Eureka, Ryan! You freaking Rika!
Freaking Rika!
We buy back the summer breeze, but it becomes the gimme sex.
The gimme sex.
Yeah, it's such a good episode. I love that episode so much. I think that's another reason why I was like, well, we gotta at least make it to that because it's so good. The iconic Spider-Man kiss. I guess like How are you feeling about, were you like excited about the Spider-Man kiss? Were you bummed that she left Zach? Like, what?
No,
were your
I wasn't
feelings
bummed
about?
She left Zach. I was very happy that they're back together.
Okay.
Yeah. Exciting. I mean, they like.
Do you think they set it up well enough? Because I feel
yes.
like upon this rewatch, I'm like, I just cannot trust my impressions of anything anymore because I'm like, I'm so biased that I'm like, did they set it up enough? I don't know. I feel like I'm being
no,
overly critical.
No, I think
critical.
They did a great job doing that.
Okay. Yeah.
No, like seriously, like at first I was like so over. I'm like, guys, just get over each other. And then they kind of do ish, but it's never really that like good.
Yeah.
It's never really that long that they're like not still obsessing over each other.
Totally.
But when they kind of bring it back after like Marissa.
There's more.
I think
build
it's
up
around the
it.
Comic book when they like have yeah. a lot of like tension, sexual
yeah.
tension. That I'm like, yeah, now I want this back. I want it back.
Oh yeah. So we haven't even talked about the comic book, Atomic County.
I can't wait it for them to implode again.
What are your feelings on the comic book angle?
So abrupt.
It's also wild that it's like these children are supposed to be juniors in high school.
Yeah.
Maybe Zach is supposed to be a senior. We never really know.
But like also like...
And they're getting meetings.
It kind of made enough sense where it was like they're well connected enough.
That's true.
To where they're like they can get a meeting.
Yeah. And then the guy's like, you guys are in high school? Call me when you're older. Goodbye.
Yeah, he basically said, like, you guys are not ready for this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. I think we've covered pretty much everything. So now we can get into... Well, let's check in on your predictions from the last episode. So, okay. Let's get into predictions. So I'm going to play the first one. Gonna be the situation.
The baby is not gonna be Ryan's.
Well, that was wrong, but you were
unresolved.
Yeah, I guess that's true. We still don't know whose baby it is.
We don't know whose baby.
Yeah. Okay. Number two.
I think Seth is going to overcorrect in some capacity and cause a lot of issues in his relationship with Summer. Potentially they break up.
So yeah, I think still thought they were going to be together, but
that's not, I was wrong.
Yeah.
That was an incorrect, because I thought he was just going to like already be back and be like,
yeah.
I fucked up. And she's like, fuck you.
Yeah.
But instead it was, he just fucking was gone.
Was
and then
blunt.
When he came back, they were already broken up and she was like, fuck you.
I would call that like half right.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Number
three. But
he
didn't overcorrect. There's going to be another like Marissa and Ryan. Will they, won't they? Probably will they at some point and then won't they? I would not be surprised if they get back together and then break up again by halfway through season two.
So again, maybe a halfway. Correct?
Halfway. Because they never like fully got back.
Yeah. But they kind of tried. For a second.
For like most of an episode.
Yeah. Okay. Number four.
Caleb's going to somehow weasel his way out of things and be good. And somehow Jimmy's going to take the brunt of some fallout.
So the Jimmy part was wrong. I don't know why.
Straight up.
I don't know why you thought Jimmy. I guess I understand why you roped Jimmy into it. Because he always, like in season one, he always somehow ended up like... like the worst end of the stick.
Yeah, just getting fucked over.
And this time,
like,
he kind of fucks himself over.
Yeah.
Okay, last prediction.
Marissa's going to have more substance abuse issues, clearly, because at the end of the season, she's like drinking a bottle of vodka.
In her new mansion. Kinda. She's definitely still drinking.
She be drinking.
I mean, even her Atomic County character has a flask.
A flask. Which is not great.
And when, what is it? When Seth, like, Seth shows up, or Seth, like, runs into her and Zach at the bait shop, and she's like, "You smell like Marissa!" Or Summer says to somebody, "You smell like Marissa," because they're drunk.
No, she says it to Seth.
Yeah.
There is one thing that I think is annoying, is that they're like, ever since they started writing in that Marissa is like, has a drinking problem, they're acting like none of them ever drink. When, like, Summer for sure did in season one at all of those parties.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I understand they're trying to, like, really make a juxtaposition, but it's like, the problem with Marissa isn't necessarily that she's drinking, it's how much and when and why.
And I think, I think that they're definitely showing the difference, where there's definitely a difference
between... But, like, ever since, Summer has not had any alcohol.
That's true. They have completely changed her character from who she was at the beginning of season one. And I think, but I also think because there's the history of them going to parties and drinking and stuff, that it could be another reason why nobody says anything about Marissa, because they're teens and they're like, well, I mean, I drink sometimes. Like, I don't know. Maybe she's going to be okay. Like, I can see that kind of being like, maybe a way for the other teens to justify Marissa drinking or something.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. So that was expectations versus reality. And now let's get into my favorite segment, the bait shop, which is an audio quiz involving the iconic music that scores of the most iconic moments in the show. I'm going to play a song clip, and you're going to have to tell me at which moment it was playing. And it is multiple choice. So
yeah, this is going to be hard because it took me so long to get through this season.
I know. We'll see. I did, like, play around with this a lot today to try, because I also was like, I changed out like three songs, I think, because some of the songs I had in here, I was like, I don't even remember which is the correct answer because it's been a while. So I tried to choose songs that I thought would be a little more memorable / moments I thought would be more memorable. But we'll see. We'll see.
Okay.
Okay. The first song is You Got Me All Wrong by Dios Malos. Okay, is this A, Ryan is miserable in Chino, pining for his old life in Newport? B, Seth is working at the marina in Portland and drawing Summer in his notebook and being a bummer? Or C, Marissa and Summer are lounging by the pool and commiserating over their boy situation post Ryan and Seth?
B?
No, it's A.
Dude, I have no idea.
I know, this was literally in the first episode. It's like Ryan is sad. It's like the sad Ryan montage is basically what this is playing.
Okay.
Okay. Number two, God Killed the Queen by Louis XIV, who I think I actually saw open for the Killers in 2007.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Is this A, Zach punches Seth at the snow sea? B, Seth discovers that the summer breeze has been transformed into the gimme sex? Or C, the song plays every time Alex and Marissa kiss or when their relationship is mentioned in the Rainy Day Women?
I'm going to say C.
Correct. This is like
that. Just because I feel like that riff.
Yeah. It's really just the riff.
I feel like it was played multiple times.
It was.
Yeah, so that's why. Also because they're just like, right?
I've also tried to get... I'm also now trying to be like... Never mind, I'll tell you this part later. Okay, number three. Yeah, you already know this song. Smile Like You Mean It by The Killers. I fucking love this song.
Dude, same.
Okay, is this... Summer, Zach, and Marissa run into Seth and Ryan on their double date at the Killers concert at the bait shop. Summer keeps calling Zach Ducky and things are tense. B, Ryan and Alex and Seth and Lindsay have an awkward time chatting at the Killers concert at the bait shop. Ryan doesn't like live music, but it's Alex's passion. C, Summer is fixating on Seth while he's on a date at the bait shop and Zach gets frustrated. That shirt totally accentuates his bird arms. This one's hard. This is one of the hard ones I left. But I kept it because I love the song.
Did it stop playing? Oh, there we go. I'm gonna say C.
No, it is B.
It's B? Okay.
Okay. Number four, Champagne Supernova, covered.
Oh my god, this song was stuck in my head.
By Matt Pond, PA.
And not necessarily a good thing.
The timestamp. Yeah. Okay. Ryan shows up to Lindsay's house in the rain and discovers that she's moving to Chicago. B, Seth and Summer's Spider-Man kiss in the rain. C, Rebecca decides to run from the police in the rain.
A?
No, it's B. This is Spider-Man kiss song. Okay, and finally.
Man, I'm doing so badly on this one.
It's been a while. I feel like there weren't as many, like, big moments in the first half of the season, other than maybe the Spider-Man kiss. It was all, like, there were, like, dramatic things, but it was a lot of, like, long arcs, you know? Would you agree with that?
Yeah. Okay. And also, finally, like, I think you definitely overestimate how, like, impactful these moments are in pop culture history.
They're impactful to me, Gray, and everyone who's watched the show. Okay. In every sunflower... by Bell X1. Is this A? Lindsay tells Ryan, even though she knows.
Oh. My book has more
bookmarks than pages. Ugh. A, okay. Lindsay tells Ryan, even though she knows Caleb is for sure her dad, she is still moving to Chicago. B, Seth vents to Ryan about his catastrophic actions in San Diego while at the diner. Or C, the song plays every time Sandy and Rebecca this is the Rebecca song.
Yeah, I just
this song plays every time Sandy and Rebecca
get into this song.
A compromising situation in the Rainy Day Women, ultimately ending with her running away from the police in a storm. So yeah.
Yeah, I just remember like that moment always frustrated me. So that song frustrates me because as soon as I heard it like the second time in that episode, I'm like, ugh. And I think you hear it three times in the episode.
Rebecca, basically. Okay, well, all that's left for us to do is for you to predict what you think is going to happen in the second half of the season. And I know you have some ideas of what kind of does happen in the second half of the season. So. But you don't know, like, how we get to some things.
I think, like, where should I start?
Marissa and Alex?
Marissa and Alex. I think it already seemed like it was getting rocky, like, pretty quickly. So I think, and Marissa and Ryan, like, kind of reconnected at the very end of the episode.
Right, she's, like,
and Lindsay's out of the way. Okay, so I think they're going to get close again, and already Marissa's kind of like, oh, maybe I, like, acted a little too, like, quickly with this moving in thing. Like, rent. Yikes. So I think, like, that's going to get rocky, and I think Ryan is going to, like, just, like, be a problem for them. Not, like, he's going to cause problems, but just, like, his association is going to cause problems between the two of them. I think Zach's gonna like, he's gonna come back, but I think he's kind of gonna be like gone pretty quickly by the end of the season. Like, I don't think he's gonna pose like a huge threat. I think it's gonna be like kind of like Anna, how they treated Anna.
Okay. You know of a new character coming.
What?
You know of a new character coming.
Oh, Trey. Oh, is Trey going to be a problem for Marissa or for Summer? Ooh. Ooh, I think it's going to be one of them. I think it's definitely going to be one of them. I think one of them is going to get into him, or he's going to be into her. And, ooh. Oh, I feel like my gut's telling me Marissa, but I'm just going to leave it at that. Okay. Because he's broken and she's going to think she can fix him.
What do you think Julie's life of crime was, or whatever the Wikipedia said?
Oh, man.
I would be shocked if you guessed it, but I really want you to try.
Fuck, I want to know. Oh, man, I think that might be hard to really... Life of crime. Was she like a hooker? Or like a stripper? I don't know. I feel like they wouldn't have her doing like theft. Or, you know, because like she's... I think it's something like she was a stripper or she was like a hooker. Like a hooker might be a little intense, but like, I don't know.
We say sex worker now, Gray.
They won't.
That's true.
Maybe. No, but that's not crime. I was going to say like a porn star, but that's not crime. So it can't be that. I don't know. I'm gonna. My final offer. Wait, neither is being a stripper. That's not a life of crime. Shit. Okay, scratch that. Scratch all of that. It's none of that. It's... Dude, honestly, it could be anything. I'm going to say she like... smuggled immigrants into the country. Like, I don't know. So I'm just saying something so far out there.
You said that right. When I took a drink. Oh my god. Okay.
She opened other people's mail.
Oh, Sandy and Kirsten.
Oh, man. I think the kiss is going to come out because Sandy has a guilty conscience. And I think their relationship's going to be tested. Like, it's going to be, like, pretty rough for them. Okay. Yeah, I think things are going to go pretty... they're going to go a lot worse before they get better.
All right. I think we've covered all of our major players.
Does Lindsay ever come back?
No, sorry.
Okay.
This may be a spoiler, but she doesn't.
No, it seemed as that, as so.
Okay, cool.
Same with Anna. Like, Anna's probably gone. I mean, don't answer, but she seems as though she was gone. If she comes back, like, cool, but... Like,
I mean, did you think Luke was gonna come back?
He only came back for one episode.
I know, but it was still nice to see him.
Yeah.
Luke, my boy.
Well, when that happened, I was like, oh shit, is he back? And then as soon as Seth leaves, I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, no. Darn. Okay. Well, that is everything. Next episode, we'll be covering... Oh, gosh, I gotta remember how many episodes are in this season. We'll be covering episodes 15 through 24. So the season isn't as long as the last one, but it's still 24 episodes. And we'll be finishing off season 2. So.
God damn it.
What?
I just got a huge spoiler.
Oh no! Stop looking at stupid things!
Wikipedia page. I know, I'm so mad.
What'd you get spoiled? Oh my god,
I'm so mad. I'm not gonna say.
Okay, you can tell me in the next episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, get off of Wikipedia.
Oh, I'm so mad. I'm off it. I'm pissed. I'm pissed.
Damn it. Okay. Okay, well, that's all that we have for today. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I don't know when the next episode is going to come out, but bear with us.
Hey, guys, anybody who's listening and who has already seen this show, guess what? I just got spoiled for myself.
Oh, you want people to write in and guess what? You got spoiled for yourself?
Yeah, and then you can go over them on the next episode if anybody even writes in.
Okay.
And see if it was right.
Okay. I have an idea, but I'm not going to say it yet, obviously. Okay. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.